In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, it's good to be back in Denver. I spent the past week in Oklahoma on a pilgrimage. This was the first annual Our Lady Help of Christians pilgrimage to the Clear Creek Monastery. If you're not familiar with that, it was founded by the ancient, very old Fontainebleau Monastery in France, which Father Jackson visited and spent some time at. It's quite memorable to him. But they sent a foundation to America, the first one ever, and they founded it in a place called, Hulbert, Oklahoma. So they've been there for over 20 years. They have a magnificent monastery now. And so we marched 35 miles there Saturday and Sunday. 23 miles on Saturday, 11 miles on Sunday. It wasn't easy, but it was wonderful. Cardinal Burke granted unto us a plenary indulgence, and we had about 500 pilgrims make that march. And that was in reparation for everything that's going on in the country and the world today. So I'll be going back next year, and I encourage you all to come as well. But for today, we have the Feast of St. Bridget of Sweden, and as well the commemoration of Saints Sergius and Bacchus, and Saints Marcellus and Apuleius. So just a few on those saints. Marcellus and Apuleius, they were actually followers of Simon Magus, that magician there in Rome. But seeing the wonders performed by the Apostle Peter, they abandoned Simon and embraced the doctrine of the faith. And after the death of the apostles under the proconsul Aurelian, they themselves were martyred and buried near Rome. Saints Sergius and Bacchus were officers under the emperor in Rome. That was about the year 303. And they would not enter the temple of Jupiter with the emperor. They were actually friends of the emperor. They would not enter the temple with him. He demanded them to do so. They refused. He ordered them to do so. He threatened them, and they still refused. So first they were humiliated by being led through the streets in women's garb, and then they were sent by the emperor to a place where they were scourged so terribly that Bacchus died of the scourging, and Sergius was tortured and then beheaded. Thus the martyrdoms of Saints Sergius and Bacchus, giving their lives in witness of the faith. And what was their witness? They would not give honor to a false god. They would not say that your gods, your pagan gods, are just as good as the Catholic Church. Right? That was the ecumenism of the early centuries. So St. Bridget of Sweden, she herself was born in the year 1303 to very pious parents. She was a very devoted child, and her father actually went to confession weekly, and he went on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. So a very good example from her parents. And at the age of 10, she had a vision of our Lord during his passion. And she saw him covered with wounds, all the tortures of his passion. And she asked him, being a little child of 10 years old, "Who has done this to thee?" And he replied to her, "All those who despise my love." And so this would be the first of many visions she would receive throughout her life, and this would actually give rise to what was later known as the 15 St. Bridget prayers, which are immortalized in the Pietà booklet that many of us know. That's where this comes from. Prayers, 15 prayers commemorating the Passion of our Lord. So a very pious child, she wanted to be a nun, she wanted to consecrate her virginity to God, but her parents wished her to marry, and so she did. At a very young age, she was 13 when she was married. And she had 8 children. All of them survived, which was unusual at the time. And one of her children would end up becoming St. Catherine of Sweden. There are many St. Catherines, Catherine of Siena, Catherine of Hungary. Catherine of Sweden is not so well known. Her feast day is March 24th, so she always gets supplanted by St. Gabriel, right? That's the eve of the Annunciation. She's not a universal saint anyways. So St. Catherine of Sweden, but one of the daughters of St. Bridget of Sweden. And so she had a good family, raised her 8 children, but her husband died after 20 years of marriage. And this is not easy for her. Although she very earnestly wanted to be a nun, she put herself wholeheartedly into her marriage. And when her husband died, she was arranging him in his tomb. And she said that she had loved him like she loved her own body, which is exactly what spouses are to do. Love your spouse as yourself. The two shall become one flesh. But now she was about 41 years of age, and she was able to pursue her original desire of becoming a nun and consecrating herself to God. And so she did. However, God would not let her fulfill this desire exactly either. She wanted to join a convent, but he asked her to found a convent. And so she did, with help, with patronage from the King of Sweden. She herself was a member of the noble family, and the King of Sweden had asked her earlier to help tutor his wife. He'd married a wife from a foreign country. She needed help learning the language and so on, and so St. Bridget had assisted in that matter. And this is part of, you know, why our Lord may not, give us our, how can we say this, we may have two vocations, right? She was married for 20 years, and then she ended up founding an order later. But when she was married, she gave birth to a saint. She was assisting to help with the king and the queen. She was influencing them, right? All kinds of good things she was doing. And that's why we shouldn't be too disappointed when it seems God is not answering our prayers for our vocation. Or it seems we have a, you know, I wanted to do this, but now I'm doing 180 the opposite. God, what are you thinking? That's a dumb question to ask, right? Don't ask what God is thinking. He knows what he's doing. So she had help from the king. He gave her land. He gave her resources. She founded a convent. And so it's like, okay, now I can found a convent. I can be in here. I can live the life I wanted to live. Not so. Before her convent even got off the ground, it was well underway, but God asked her to go to Rome. And so she did. She went to Rome. She petitioned the Pope to approve her order, which eventually he would do. But while there, actually, she found that the popes were actually in Avignon at this time. During the Avignon papacy from, I think it was 1309 to 1377. And so when there, she began writing letters to the popes, urging them to come back to Rome, right? Come back to Rome. Don't be in France. So she accomplished much good. She's in Rome, and while there, she goes on a pilgrimage herself to the Holy Land, right, after the example of her father. And while she goes on the pilgrimage, she brought her daughter and one of her sons with her, and her son died on that. He took a fever, and then he ended up dying on this pilgrimage. So even more heartache for St. Bridget. And eventually she would never actually return to Sweden. She herself would end up dying in Rome. And it seemed that her whole life was kind of a life of frustrations. She wanted to be a nun, but she wasn't able to. She had to get married. Well, she had a good marriage, but her husband died, right, when she was still halfway through. She wanted to join a convent, but she couldn't. She had to found a convent. But after founding it, she couldn't even stay there. She had to go to Rome. And when she went to Rome, the Pope wasn't even there. He was somewhere else, and she had to work to get him to come back to where the place where he should be. And then she goes on a pilgrimage, right? And on pilgrimages, we often ask God for healing, for help. Her son dies on this pilgrimage. So we could say St. Bridget is a patron saint of frustrations, of failures. But yet she kept going, right? And that is the huge lesson from her life, in that after the example of Christ, right? That vision of hers from when she was 10 years old, the Passion of Christ, she would write about that. She wrote those prayers, and her writings would become very influential in the Middle Ages. But think about when Christ our Lord worked his most stupendous, awesome healing miracle. It was when his hands were nailed to the cross. When his feet were nailed to the cross, he couldn't move a muscle, right? He could barely breathe, and that is when Christ works his most amazing miracle. And that's the example that St. Bridget gives us of her life, right? It is that we think, I'm going to accomplish something, I want my efforts to do something, and it seems like our efforts are frustrated all along. God is working, right? It is our union with him, our fulfilling of his will, that accomplishes things, right? Not my efforts, but God's efforts through me. So a great lesson from St. Bridget of Sweden. And, you know, because in the long run, the Bridgetine nuns, they're still around, right? 700 years later, that order that St. Bridget got started but never saw to fruition, that's still going. And one of the ones who helped it get up and running was her daughter, Catherine of Sweden. And in fact, Catherine of Sweden would bring St. Bridget's body back to Sweden, and then St. Catherine went back to Rome, and she met another St. Catherine, this one from Siena. And so St. Catherine of Sweden, St. Catherine of Siena, continued St. Bridget's work of bringing the popes back. And as we know, St. Catherine of Siena was successful getting Pope Gregory XI to come bring the papacy back to Rome. So we just never know, right? So much of what we do, we feel frustrated. We think, I'm going to die and everything's going to be left undone. That may be true, but after death, we have no idea what's going to happen. right? Just like like I said, when did Christ work his greatest healing miracle? It was after his death, right? After his death on the cross, his resurrection, that's when everything came together. And so we can ask St. Bridget to help us have faith, right? And believe that God will work those miracles in our life, even though it may be after our death. But that's the life that matters, is not this one, but the next one. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.